Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, thank you for having me here, inviting me to this seminar. Indeed, I'm a Czech prosecutor working for Eurojust since 2011. And this is an element which will impact my upcoming contribution to you. Since my presentation will start with Eurojust, allow me to say a few words about Eurojust. What is this EU agency about? How do we work, and what benefit this organization can bring to you? I'm about to mention this on purpose, since everything, in principle, what I'm about to share with you is impacted by my experience for last 7 years working for this organization. Then I will continue with some best practices, including joint investigation teams. I continue with two case examples, which in my view very well summarizes or give you a good idea of what first Eurojust is doing, how this organization can help, and also what kind of challenges practitioners, prosecutor judges are confronted with when it comes to the financial, so to say, investigations. And in the end, if the time allows us, I would like to mention a few words about Eurojust strategic activities in trafficking human beings. Can you hear me well? Perfect. This is a wonderful room. Sometimes when the speakers are less attractive in terms of what they are saying, I have the tendency to observe more the room, so in case I'm too boring, you have a side activity. So, I hope this won't be the case. And to Eurojust. Well, this is Eurojust building, a new one. It's a nice one, but I'm not showing you the building because I would like to boost how nice building we are working in. But the purpose is then because Eurojust is in principle 35 or 34 legal systems of both EU member states and some third countries under one roof. So the one building has certain specifics. Eurojust was set up in 2000 with the aim to support, facilitate international cross-border cooperation, primarily among the EU member states, but its mandate concerns also cooperation with third states in most serious cross-border investigations. However, Eurojust mandates in principle covers all types of criminality. Eurojust is composed of representatives of each and every member state. Plus, they are currently posted for these magistrates. I will be speaking about it in a minute, but they are prosecutors from the United States, Montenegro, Switzerland and Norway together with us. And we simply, because we are this one building, working on every issue which is related to criminal justice with this cross-border element, starting with execution of European arrest warrants, chasing up of the non-executed letter of request, coordination of parallel investigations, arrests, house seizures, simply everything you can imagine and you might be facing with when being in a need to obtain evidence from abroad. Just as an example, a prosecutor here from Vienna needs to get in direct contact with prosecutors in Paris investigating a terrorism case, which was indeed the case, remembering the Bataclan terrorist attacks there. And it's a need to obtain immediate evidence, immediate information about a concrete suspect which has been arrested in Austria. And the prosecutor in Austria doesn't know whom to address, he doesn't know even in which language to use, and he doesn't know even what is going on this possible subject in France. This everything, simple information, can be obtained through Eurojust. At Eurojust, they are working in total 340 persons, and Eurojust is operating with quite generous budget of nearly 50 million of euros. And by showing this, as I was speaking, what is somehow you're just above. Allow me to say you an anecdote, or share you, it's not an anecdote because it's a situation which didn't happen, it's a story basically, which my friend in the Netherlands, an Irish woman, experienced when she traveled to Italy for a holiday. She went there together with her husband, two kids. What happened? She had a car accident. She was hit by a car. Her partner was seriously injured. She was transported to the hospital in Italy. And she learned there two things. First, that she was pregnant. And second thing, that her injury was quite serious. And what was quite interesting for her to hear from the Italian medicines, the treatment, recommended treatment. She was told that because she's pregnant, the most important thing is her little baby in her belly. And because any movement could put this little baby, this nascitus, in a risk, she was really recommended to stay calm, not to move, and to focus on the child. Okay, she did so. Once she returned back to the Netherlands, naturally, she again visited the medicines in the Netherlands. And to her surprise, okay, her pregnancy was confirmed, that was not a surprise, but the treatment recommended. Because the doctors in the Netherlands told her, look, we know you are pregnant, but at the same time, you are seriously injured. And unless you don't start physiotherapy immediately, you risk that you will never recover fully. And what is going to happen with the child? This is in principle destiny. You simply have to focus on yourself to be ready, to be fit. Once the baby is delivered, born, you need to be in top shape to really provide her, him, 100% support. And I'm mentioning this story with a good purpose, since I see there's a certain parallel in international cooperation. And sometimes I do myself feel at Eurojust like this, my purely poor Irish friend, who is confronted with two different opinions. And honestly, it's difficult to say which approach is correct, because there are reasons to believe both approaches are well justified, well grounded. And likewise, this little lady from Ireland, I at Eurojust, sometimes being confronted with two different legal regimes, with two different legal cultures, it's something which needs to be taken into account when cooperating internationally. The system which I might be used from the Czech Republic might be completely different from the Netherlands. And this doesn't mean that one of the systems are good, the second is worse or better. Simply, we live in Europe. Still, we have independent jurisdictions in criminal matters, and we have to deal it, and we have to take into account the differences which we might be facing. And I feel like this Irish lady, especially when being in charge of so-called coordination meetings. The ones of you working for a prosecution might have experienced this coordination role of Eurojust, since when there are cases of particular concern, complex ones, when the really discussion and meeting of the prosecutors in charge of the investigation is needed, Eurojust does organize those coordination meetings. Meaning, I as a Czech prosecutor invite usually two prosecutors or prosecutor and police officer to Eurojust to meet with their partners, for example, from the Netherlands. We are sitting at Eurojust. Eurojust fully covers all the expenses. Eurojust even provides for simultaneous interpretation. And Eurojust also offers legal advice during those meetings. And at those meetings, the prosecutors have a unique opportunity to discuss in their language, with all the comfort they might have, they might imagine and wish for, the cases which they are dealing with, to meet their partner from abroad, to learn him, and to assess whether and to which extent the cross-border cooperation is needed, worth, and successful to be. Eurojust can also provide for simultaneous and coordination on so-called action day. Just imagine you are a prosecutor in Berlin and you want to carry out house searches simultaneously in Spain, Switzerland and the Czech Republic. You might be again confronted with some practical obstacles on the day of action. And again, to cover this, Eurojust offers the coordination of the day. Again, having experience, contacts in all of the countries in order to support those action days. And last but not least, joint investigation teams. This is a tool which proved to be highly successful in the recent years. I myself remember when I joined Eurojust, you know, 7 years ago, my tiny little country, Czech Republic, at that moment I had experience with about 6-7 joint investigation teams. Now, 7 years later, it's nearly 60 cases where the Czech Republic police and prosecutor offices joined other colleagues from other member states and have had joint investigation team in place. What are joint investigation teams about? And here I feel somehow awkward, since you might have heard a lot or even experienced working with joint investigation teams in the past. So maybe allow me to ask you, before I go into more details, who is familiar with this concept? Could you please raise your hands? Okay, just 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so I thought it. Okay. So joint investigation teams. So I apologize to ones of you who have experienced this and who are familiar.
Joint investigation teams
are teams composed of judicial and law enforcement authorities from member states, the European Union. However, there is a legal basis also to include countries outside the European Union into it, which have joined, which created so-called team, in order to cooperate and continue in their parallel investigations very closely. The team is set up by a written agreement with a certain purpose for a limited period of time under the guidance of prosecutors, being responsible, usually prosecutors responsible for the investigation in their countries.
There are some benefits of the joint investigation teams.
Allow me to mention three of them. First, just imagine you have complex investigation involving three countries: Switzerland, Czech Republic and Spain. Investigation into trafficking in human beings, for example. You have trafficked women from the Czech Republic, Spain and Switzerland. And Czech prosecutor needs to obtain evidence on a regular basis concerning wiretapping of the pimps, of the traffickers. He needs to obtain witness statements, and at the beginning of the investigation he anticipates that he might request for this assistance on a repeatable basis, so many times in frame of investigation. So every time when he needs to obtain this evidence, he needs to formalize and send a formal letter of request, including all the translation to abroad. And the spirit of the joint investigation teams, acronym JIT, offers this luxury that once having JIT in place, you don't need to have it. Simply, the evidence is being exchanged upon a simple request, usually of the police. So basically, the prosecutor has free hands. He doesn't have to really formally go through all the procedures, but simply asks the police, please request this evidence. Everything is covered by this joint investigation team agreement, which replaces all the subsequent letter of request issued in those cases. Second element, you know it from your practice, prosecutors or foreign law enforcement authorities cannot participate in the actions in your country without your previous approval. Once, okay, it's a formality, but still it's some extra work authorizing this all the time. And once having joint investigation team, again, it's not needed because joint investigation team is a legal basis. It is. And last but not least, and I consider this to be very, very useful and very important, what I've seen on many occasions that the cross-border cooperation, especially among the European countries, it's not jeopardized, mostly because of the different legal regimes existing in Europe. Okay, there are obstacles, there are problems to adjust the different legal systems, but this is sometimes, it's usually possible to overcome. But what is very often an issue is a simple lack of resources. You have serious investigation in Germany, lot of interest, lot of resources invested, but once the prosecutor from Dresden requests prosecutor from London, simply the British law enforcement authorities might have completely different priorities than the high-profile investigation in Dresden in Germany. However, once having the joint investigation team and certain decision of management at the police level to invest into this case, to appoint police officers and perhaps even more prosecutors to look and to be involved in the case, it's already guaranteed that the resources are there and then the cooperation and investigation will generate much more successes than if not having JIT in place. So, in my view, very useful tool which proved to be helpful. As among the new member states, the main legal basis to set up joint investigation team is the 2000 Convention on Mutual Legal Assistance. Even now, having European investigation order in many European countries in place, as it comes to the joint investigation teams, the 2000 Convention is still valid. When it comes to cooperation with countries outside the European Union, it's the second additional protocol to the 59th Convention, mostly used tool. So not only EU member states, but even the cooperation with countries outside the European Union is possible, legally possible. Naturally, it always depends on the legal system of the particular countries, whether the cooperation with countries outside the European Union is allowed or not. But generally, it's good to believe and anticipate that it's possible. I can mention many examples where authorities from Ukraine, Switzerland, Norway, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and others were involved in joint investigation teams. I've already spoken about it. So the JIT always cooperates and operates on the basis. Here's the example. Joint investigation team leader, it's obviously Spain, and maybe Portugal on the other side. So if those two countries join the joint investigation team, there will be always two JIT leaders, one for Portugal, one for Spain. So when considering setting up the JIT, you don't have to be afraid that you will, so to say, have to obey instructions of the judge or prosecutor from other country. You always will be the one responsible for a domestic investigation. That's how the JIT works. Support by Eurojust to JIT. Maybe I will only repeat myself what I said at the beginning. Simply anything which you can consider concerning JIT can be supported by Eurojust. Identifying competent authorities, helping and drafting the joint and the JIT agreement, financial support, legal support. Basically, on the webpage of Eurojust, you can find a practical guide how to set up joint investigation teams, model agreement, etc. For your information, in 2017, Eurojust supported more than 200 joint investigation teams set up between competent authorities. Newly signed them 87 and 130 from the previous years. And if you look at the statistics, you can clearly see that the traffic in human beings is on the top. So basically the experience shows that THB cases are very well suited for cooperation in frame of JITS. And as I was speaking about the financial support, this is also something which is provided by Eurojust. For our information, last year Eurojust dedicated 1,300,000 euros to support operational activities of those 207 JITS. At the beginning I mentioned that Eurojust's primary mandate is to support cross-border cooperation within the EU member states. However, Eurojust is trying to establish cooperation also with countries outside the EU. So in the right corner you can see the countries where Eurojust succeeded to have even liaison prosecutors from those countries: United States, Montenegro, Switzerland and United States. However, the contacts of Eurojust are much far-reaching, 42 contact points in countries outside the EU. But in principle, thanks to Eurojust involvement and contacts, even through the International Association of Prosecutors, I dare to say that there's a good chance that Eurojust might have contacts in most of the countries in the world. So if you are dealing with the case, if the very exotic country outside the European Union is concerned and you need to obtain cooperation from this country, consider that Eurojust might be also of assistance. Well, very briefly,
Eurojust statistics and case examples. Statistics. Case, number of cases is still increasing at Eurojust. This is, however, quite interesting, again, on THB. I have already spoken that when it comes to the JITS, very frequently THB is concerned. The same goes actually also for the coordination meetings. And generally, in the last years, we can also observe relatively sharp increase in cases on trafficking human beings. In my opinion, it's not because there would be generally increase of the trafficking cases, trafficking in the field, but it's simply the supporting role of Eurojust is becoming more or better known to the practitioners. Even this presentation might be a trigger for you to consider perhaps Eurojust for the future. Another statistics, but the presentation is at your disposal, so no need to go further into details. I think you dealing with the financial investigation, it's not needed to summarize. Those are the both legal and practical obstacles when it comes to financial investigation. And very briefly, in 5 minutes, if I have time still, I would like to summarize Eurojust so-called strategic activities concerning trafficking human beings. In 2012, actually more than 6 years ago, we were thinking at Eurojust how it's possible that on one hand a lot of NGOs and a lot of other institutions are indicating very high number of trafficking happening, but at the same time we have been referred only a relatively small number of those cases to Eurojust, and what we know from domestic statistics, generally the number of prosecution in THB is very low. So the aim was to identify obstacles preventing from successful investigation of THB, and also to offer some maybe to identify the way how to overcome those obstacles. And maybe you will agree with me, maybe not, that those are the five elements which make investigation in THB challenging. To get evidence, the complexity of the cases, even to identify victims, multidimensional dimension of THB, not only in terms of countries, but also, I understand this, that not only legal challenges, but also psychological.
psychological one, cultural one, when dealing with the witnesses like the ones I was referring to, the girls' lives sharing the same room, for example. Lack of knowledge, experience, this might be also element, and asset recovery. If you are interested, I hope you might be, or you may find all the documents which were prepared during this project, which we initiated in 2012 and ended up in 2017 on Eurojust webpage. So all the information, all the statistics, everything simply what was done by Eurojust on this issue is public. In 2015, we organized a strategic meeting on PHB. I remember that Mr. Porcius from Western Union was also intervening on the seminar. So here I would like to highlight that this is a recurring issue, that simply financial investigation is something which is there and will be there even in the future. Well, the tools how to address the problems. The idea is, once some institutions were created to help practitioners to overcome problems, it's just a pity not to use them. Okay, Eurojust, I already spoke, what is Eurojust about? It's up to you in principle if you use those services or not, just I promote them. The same goes for Europol, who offers excellent intelligence service in principle. Joint investigation teams, no need to repeat again. So those are just few suggestions. And some findings at the very end of this project. It's quite interesting that the problems we identified at the beginning of the problems in 2012 in principle remain the same. I think it's nothing new under the sun, but yeah, this is the situation in the field. All the problems, all the five challenges I addressed in the beginning were relevant even at the end of the project. However, hopefully the awareness of the prosecution service, prosecutors and police authorities, hopefully including judges, throughout the years is increasing. And importance of financial investigation and assets recovery, again, I would only repeat myself by highlighting this is one of the crucial things when it comes to investigations on PHP. Ladies and gentlemen, many thanks for your attention. I hope you are not enjoying this beautiful room, but also listening, at least partially to me. Thank you very much, and I look forward to our future cooperation.